Who is it?
It's Dave, man. Will you open up? I got the stuff with me.
Who?
Dave, man. Open up.
Dave?
Yeah, Dave. Come on, man. Open up. I think the cops
Dave's
coming.
Dave's not here.
Say, man. You got a joint?
No, not on me, man.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
I'm here today because I'm addicted to marijuana.
You in here for the marijuana? Marijuana?
Marijuana is not a drug.
Fool this man!
Hey, I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got this shit to do.
You guys celebrate 420 this weekend? I realize where I got that laugh, by the way, where I've always done it just because, one, you've always known some guy that's been like, it's Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused.
Huh.
He does that a couple times.
Does he really?
Yeah. And, I mean, I love his entire role in that movie because two of the actors didn't get along. So they ended up cutting, what's his name, Sean Andrews, something like that. They cut his stuff and basically built McConaughey into a bigger character because one of the actors was a jerk and couldn't get along.
Really?
And what sucks about that is the most famous person in that movie at the time, Mila Jovovich, she was that dude, Sean Andrews' boyfriend. So he was the guy that was supposed to have the keg party. Her scenes were cut back because he was a jerk and didn't get along with everyone, but it made Matthew McConaughey into a star. Another legend of the McConaughey-ness is apparently he was drinking at like the Driscoll or somewhere because he had a buddy who was a bartender at a hotel, so he got discounts while he was still a student.
Right.
And someone's like, oh, that's the guy that's cast in this movie in Austin. And so McConaughey's like, I'm going to go talk to him. They got him into it. Most of his lines were improvised. He ended up getting a huge role because another guy could. It was just great. Anyhow, my point of this is I spent Saturday celebrating 420.
Oh, yeah?
Sober.
Wow.
Doing laundry, but we had a little stoner movie marathon.
Nice.
And,
what did you watch?
Watched a lot of stuff.
Did you go for some of the classics, Cheech and Chong, or did you go way back to Reefer Madness? Have you ever seen that one?
That's a wild movie. I watched that in film school, like in a class for that sort of thing.
Propaganda pieces are great.
We did the cliche ones, newer ones, kind of like Pineapple Express. We watched Grandma's Boy, nice. Half-Baked.
Okay.
Like just a lot of stuff like that. Eventually, I got tired of it. I was kind of in and out. But by the third movie, I'm like, all right, come on, man. Come on, man. Half-Baked's still pretty funny, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think so. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Well, and I just noticed more things they did in the movie. You wouldn't call them Easter eggs, but just little things. And I also appreciated that Stephen Wright, who's a comedian, plays the guy on the couch, was in a lot more shots than you thought.
Right.
He was in a dream sequence shot. He was still on the couch.
Like, I'm just
early
here.
In the movie, before he's ever introduced or you noticed him, you see him in the background on the couch. So he's there the entire time before his little spots.
How come no Friday? You didn't put any Friday up in the mix? Friday's a classic.
I it is. And I had left.
Did I feel wrong watching on a Saturday?
You can't, yeah. Friday's a Friday movie.
I see.
But I'd also walked out of the house by that because I was also doing laundry. Got a lot of laundry done on 420 all weekend, and it was pretty much the same load because I kept forgetting about it. And every time I'd get it out of the dryer, my clothes would smell like bong water because I left them sitting in the washer too long.
I didn't keep supposed to just smell like mildew a little bit. I don't know about bong water, buddy.
Well, it's the same sink, but that was my 420. Did you guys have a good one? Did y'all partake?
No, I mean, I did a live show at Moon Tower, and then I went home, and I think I was asleep by like 8:30 that night.
Wow. So much gunge.
It was a really. Yeah. It was. I just got done with the hardest 9 weeks of work, maybe ever. Not maybe ever, but it certainly.
It was a rough
a
chunk.
Time. It was a rough chunk of lots.
And you
of
worked
lots
on
of
oil
lots,
rigs.
A lots of long days. So when I was finally done, like I'm on the backside of it now. It ended. 420 was the last big extra thing I had. I just went home, and I went home really to celebrate. And all of a sudden, I woke up, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, oh, my God, did I just come home, sit down on the sofa, and go straight to sleep?
Someone got baked.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. I just got old.
My lover was like, hey, do you want to smoke a joint? Because she had one. And I was like, well, first of all, where'd you get this? Is arcade. This is vintage.
Right. Yeah, what happened to the
oils? And then I was like, no, I don't. at all. I will cough too much.
Snob.
Matt, did you, now you did a show, a podcast, but they kind of messed up and forgot to put the name of your show on it, and they just called it the 420 podcast.
Yeah.
Did you have any people showing up like, whoa, dude, like expecting something that it wasn't, or did you guys?
I don't know that because I don't talk to people before the show. You just go up on stage. There was a woman in the we decided to make, we tried to see if we could make pipes out of hot dogs and smoke weed through hot dogs. And it was still like stage weed, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't real weed.
Yeah.
But but it has a smell, and she got very, very mad, and she stood up and walked out, which I thought was odd that someone got mad that someone was smoking fake weed at a 420 show. But I'm not sure from the looks of her she understood what the term 420 meant.
Oh, good point. She was a racist there to celebrate Hitler's birthday.
No, she just was a woman who I have a feeling might have just thought 420 was what time it started and did not know anything about 420 culture. She seemed very, very upset about it.
You didn't smoke real weed. Spencer, did you actually smoke? Did you celebrate 420?
I did not smoke anything, but I did, in fact, eat a bunch of gummies.
Okay, close enough. There we go. We somehow celebrated. We're not complete posers. It's time to save the planet. Hey, gang, it's Earth Day, and that's why today is the greatest. We got some tips, highlights, and some stuff to do to help save the Earth. And very easy, 3 easy tips I'm going to read here in a little bit that will help you stop destroying the planet. Tip number 1, Matt, you got to get rid of that gas guzzler and get you a lithium battery ion charged electrical coal plant refueling EV. That's step 1. Get rid of your truck and give it to me.
You don't think that by just keeping one vehicle for 25 years I've actually been helpful?
Good point.
Thank you.
You know what? That's one of the big things is stop wasting leftovers.
Oh, wow. That's
okay. It'll save you money, too.
Wow. I never don't finish my leftovers. That's a good thing, right?
I do my darndest, even though recently Avery Moore, comedian, was talking about how rice will kill you. So now every time I put leftover rice in the fridge, I'm like, I ain't eating that.
As long as you cool it quickly, you're fine.
Nope. You're supposed to, like, mash it out and flatten it in a bag and... It just scares me. And then,
what's
like,
this new info about rice I'm missing?
It's not new. It's been around for a long time.
I'm fine then.
I've eaten
rice in all manner of shapes and sizes and temperatures.
Here's the deal. If you don't know, it can't hurt you.
Exactly.
I strongly believe in that.
Don't tell me then.
But stop wasting leftovers. That's a thing. You know, it'll help you. If you buy the food, eat it. And all the water, all the resources, all the stuff it takes to grow food. So if you go to the grocery store, do your best to buy it. It's so hard, man, because when you're at the grocery store, you're like, I'm going to eat this thing of kale. And then 3 weeks later, when you're like, why does my fridge smell? What's the slime? Oh, it's that kale I was going to eat.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, especially, you know, if you have kids sometimes, they'll want stuff, they won't want stuff. Or, you know, I'm not going to blame it on kids. I'm just going to blame it on I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a good place.
Yeah, every now and then you'll have a fridge full of food. But on Friday, the radio station has a 101X session, and you get a free pizza and a tub of Parmesan, and that's what you eat all weekend. So
is that what you ate all weekend, just that tub of Parmesan you sent us?
And pizza. I used the pizza to deliver it.
You dip the pizza in there to like a blow pop?
No, but that's a good idea. Heat the pizza and dip it. But see, I don't want to ruin the Parmesan. Look at me. I'm recycling. All those things were left at the station, and I recycled it. I didn't waste it.
They set that Parmesan aside just for you, didn't they?
They
wrote CJ on it. They knew
you sent a picture. Remember I said I don't understand what I meant, and you were like trying to explain it to me. I honestly thought it was like ashes from your dog. That's what I thought that was.
Whoa.
Yeah, I thought like you had gotten your ashes back from one of the dogs passed away. Yeah.
Okay. I thought you'd emptied out an old, you remember those pet eggs? You just emptied out an old skin shaving.
No, that's pure sweet Parmesan. Stop overusing napkins. This is one of my big problems, but I don't... I've always been a paper towel, hand dryer, wiper, everything. I like using paper towels. But I'll leave him out and I'll reuse him again and again, and it drives my lover crazy. My lover is who I live with. I don't know.
Shouldn't you be using a sanitary napkin?
They are more absorbent. But if you use napkins, paper towels, all that stuff, you know, it's just better to use cloths. If you have a kid, they say to use cloth diapers too, and just wash it.
I'm not disgusting.
I'm not. I can't imagine having to. I don't have kids, but I can't imagine having to clean a cloth diaper every freaking day.
And the, you wonder if the washing machine just gets more chummed up with goop and dew. Like, where does that stuff go? It's got to just sit in the drains.
No. I would just wake my babies up, and then I'd squeeze them out. Squeeze them out like toothpaste.
Oh, yeah. When I had a paralyzed dog, that's what I'd do. Just bloop.
You just wash them in the sink.
Another tip for Earth Day to help save the planet. Easy things we can do. Reusable grocery bags. But where am I going to get the thousands of little Target HEB bags to use for my waste bin upstairs? And the reusable grocery bags are maybe a bigger waste because then you have all those sitting in a car.
I was going to say, quick tip, just buy some meat and they'll put it in one of those old school bags.
That good idea.
They're like, he's not allowed. You can't put the meat in the rest of your bag with this.
Just do what I do. Whenever I go grocery shopping, I just take whatever I'm going to take that day and I hide it underneath my clothing and walk out. And then that way I don't use any bag. So I'm being a good person.
That's actually really good.
Well done, Matt. Thank you, Matt. We're very proud of you. But it's Earth Day. Try to save the earth. For a long time, I've been a recycling kind of guy, and it's just sad because I know we do single stream where they sort it later, and I've told the story of how the neighbors had all their recycling bins filled with crawfish remnants, and I'm like, this isn't worth it. Nothing happens. We're not saving crap.
I like how you recycled all your ex-girlfriends into somebody else's girlfriend.
Wife, actually. Okay. Yeah, I have a pretty good record of that.
What exactly do you bring while spending the night?
It's time for Parent Pickup.
It's Parent Pickup with Matt, your dad, my dad, our father.
Did you guys ever have like a sleepover?
Sure,
sure, once.
Go to somebody else's house, spend the night there.
Sometimes it was fun, sometimes it wasn't, but
I guess when it was called a sleepover when you were a kid, and then when you got older, you'd just be like, hey, Mom, I spend the night at Jason's house.
Yeah.
We're going to work on some band stuff, which usually meant we're going to sneak out and go talk to these girls in his neighborhood.
Yeah, when you were a little older, that was the fun thing to do.
Yeah. Now, what did you bring when you went on a sleepover, hangout?
I don't know, because...
Diapers? Just in case.
So you could party all night. You could just have fun and not have to worry about using the restroom. Like, we're staying up all night playing video games, so I'm going to use this diaper.
Man, World of Warcraft, I guess. But no, what would I bring? I had a Nintendo 64 at one point. I remember bringing that a couple times.
Yeah, I had...
That was pretty radical.
I had buddies that would do that, and that's what I kind of hated, because when we would sleep over at my house, I had, like, the backyard, the clubhouse, we had creeks... We had, like, all this, because we were kind of on the outside of town. We had a giant, like, construction quarry called the Cliffs where we could go play. But then when we got, like, middle school and a little older, friends would bring their, you know, they just want to play GoldenEye. And I was like, this sucks. Let's go outside.
Have you played GoldenEye, bro? It's effing good.
Remember, I also didn't have GoldenEye, so I was bad at it. So, but I wanted to go outside and shoot each other's slingshots.
Well,
but, you know, usually video games, sleeping bags, sometimes snacks.
I'm talking about maybe even a little older, because here's what's happened recently. My wife is shocked. She's like, I don't understand what's happening with this generation. Nobody seems to be bringing anything to sleepovers.
Are you supposed to?
Besides sleeping like gear,
my daughter
pajamas.
is 14, right? So girls will come over and then they hang out, and she's like, well, they didn't bring pillows. They didn't bring bags. Do they have everything they need? And she seems worried about them. I'm like, honey, I remember when I would go spend the night at somebody's house, like this guy Todd, 8th grade, I would go spend the night at his house. I usually brought my skateboard. That was it. I brought my skateboard, or I skated to his house. But I certainly didn't. I don't think I even brought a toothbrush.
It's probably different for girls, but I don't remember bringing a lot. Like, we'd usually, when I was a younger, you'd bring a sleeping bag, but usually it would just be like whatever toy or video game you're going to play with.
Spare clothes, maybe.
My daughter wanted to go to someone's house, and my wife was like, she can't go without all these other things. What will their parents think? And I was like, I think that you are dialed into, and you're thinking because we've had younger kids that stuff has to go. But they reach an age where kids just are like, no, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to talk all night long until we pass out around 2 a.m. And then at 8 a.m., you're going to come grab me, and then I'll come home and brush my teeth and then sleep through most of the
night. So, yeah, you don't need all the extra stuff.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. I didn't even realize that, you know, we didn't have most of the things we needed at the time because, you know, when you, and when you got older, there was you would luckily maybe get a sleep on the couch. Or other than that, it was on the floor with extra blankets and pillows. I'll say the only thing that I really wanted to make sure we had was snacks, because occasionally you had friends that were either real healthy parents, and so they didn't have good snacks.
Or
like my friend Brandon, his house was awesome. He lived out in a place called Lake Tanglewood. So it was a private golf lake, so we had all kinds of stuff we could mess with all night long. Go swimming, go like doing all that crazy stuff. But his parents were real sticklers about like, we didn't get to eat their food. We didn't get to drink their drinks. It sucked because we never had snacks. And so we would bring our own stuff because Brandon's parents sucked.
They probably didn't suck. I'm a parent now, and I know what happened there.
If you have five teenage boys over,
Brandon was probably bringing friends over every day and ripping through the soda. And at a certain point, the dad was like, we're paying $200 a week to give all these other kids soda. Well, and that's going to stop now. It's going to stop.
They lived at Lake Tanglewood so they could afford it. But again,
you say they can afford it. Because I guess
you stay rich by.
I was going to say, I'm a jerk dad, and that's the whole thing. It starts to break your brain. Anyway, I was just checking in with that because I do remember clearly a time, and I was just trying to have that discussion with my wife. She's like, no, you always are supposed to bring all of your stuff. And I'm like, no, I think it's okay to not bring stuff, because she's worried, well, other parents think poorly of us if we send our child. And I was like, I think you're more dialed into this than anybody else.
What
is.
More can like little girls want besides that piece of paper you put your fingers in and like
make
wishes into or whatever?
The fortune teller
foldy thing.
Flips around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Well, don't they do makeovers and stuff and pillow fight? Like, you're gonna need pillows.
My daughter.
What do the kids
and
do these days?
Literally stay up.
On the phone,
making fun of boys' Instagram accounts or whatever until they pass out, and then that's it.
So they're just like my wife.
Exactly.
Let's take a look at sports. It's kind of an exciting time because the NBA and NHL playoffs are happening. And whether you're a big fan of hockey or basketball, it's kind of fun because both of those playoffs are intense. They last a while. They're all 7-game series. And we're kind of on an island here between like interesting sports things, right? We just had NCAA, the tournament ended. There's nothing big until college football in August. This is it. This is the last gasp of interesting sports.
I guess if you're not interested in lots of other good sports.
What other good sport? Baseball's not fun until the end of summer.
I love baseball.
It's too long. And you know how we're having a lot of pitchers are getting injured and stuff? I think it's because there's too many games. There's too many doubleheaders. There's too many 3 days in a row playing.
I get it. You have sex for the orgasm, right? Mm. And some people just enjoy the act of doing it.
Yeah.
I like watching baseball. It's relaxing. I like to put my feet up on the coffee table. I like to turn on and listen to the sound. And it happens. It's nice. It's kind of slow. It sounds like spring and summer. It reminds me of my grandparents.
It's an aesthetic almost. But
I thoroughly enjoy a nice, slow game. I'm okay with it.
I don't know, man. My favorite team, the Braves, their star pitcher, Max Strider, just got hurt. So I want changes. It's too long. It's too boring.
All right.
Okay, just like my sex. Too long, too boring. No real payoff.
Well, what if we increase the stakes with, like, steroids? How would you like that?
I mean, that was a fun era. The home run era. You had monster pitchers like Roger Clemens and Andy Pettitte.
Stop making fun of the greatest era of baseball.
That was the greatest era. Like, the home run record was broke every year. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, that was...
Bring back steroids.
That's the solution.
I mean it.
You know what'll heal up a pitcher? Just juice in his one arm that's massive.
Maybe that's what you need for all sports. I mean, even stuff like curling.
Golf?
anything. Just get everybody that, absolutely jacked.
Get that Happy Gilmore drive going where it's just
steroid sports.
Insane.
Hey, we've talked about it before. Matt might need a little steroids this week because he fell flat. Matt, you lost this week's sports bet.
I don't think I did.
I do believe you did.
I don't believe I did.
Well, let's start with Austin FC taking on Houston Dynamo in Houston. You predicted a draw.
I did.
I predicted a loss.
Right.
They won.
Right.
They won. So no one gets a point for that.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk NBA. I'm very excited when the playoffs happen, unless the Mavericks are involved. We both picked the Clippers to win game one.
And they did.
And they did. So we each get a point.
Okay.
Congrats. The Mavs completely forgot how to play. Clippers without their star, Kawhi Leonard, still recovering.
Clippers looked... That didn't look like a playoff game.
Mavs scored 8 points in the second quarter.
Yeah, it was rough.
It was bad, but welcome to being a Mavericks fan. Then the final one, the Braves and Rangers playing each other in a three-game series. I said, who would win the three-game series? You said the Rangers.
Yeah.
I said the Braves. Braves took two out of three. That means I get the one and only separating point here. So, yes, I win. I wouldn't
call that falling flat. I mean, I got two right. You just happened to bet the exact same as me.
You got one right. We both lost on Austin FC.
I beat you in two of the categories. You just happened to get the same score as me.
Whatever, dude. You still lose, all right? Now you're trying to do what I am always accused of doing, of changing and bending the rules. But you're a loser, Matt.
How did I do in that tiebreaker?
I'm sorry to sound, I didn't add that up because we didn't need to.
Yeah, well, I won that one, so that means we're still
tied. How do you know you won it?
Because I just
You added up the Rangers and Braves runs.
That's right.
You figured that out.
Yep.
You did the math.
Nailed it.
Okay.
So y'all are tied, so.
No, the tiebreaker only counts in case of a tie, and I'm pretty sure I won that anyways because I picked the higher score.
Did we tie on any of the scores? We both tied on...
we bet on three things. I won.
Two of them we tied. So really, we needed the tiebreaker.
So that's an overall percentage of time.
Yeah, that's how tiebreakers work.
That's not how it works. See, this is... Y'all both team up against me all the time.
It's annoying when someone does this to you, right?
I don't do that.
You're
straight up lying and changing, and you always have Spencer on your side.
That's
just not fair.
It's just more fun to be on his side this time.
No, it's not. It's not fun at all.
Try being on Matt's side for once, okay?
Anyway, congratulations to me. When we come back, we'll get CJ to drop a chip in the punishment plane.
No, you can't do that. That's not how this works.
That's how we're headed.
Did you know?
Whoa!
You should be scared of Bambi instead of Jaws. Deers kill more people in America than sharks, alligators, bears, and venomous snakes combined. For example, two deaths by shark attack in 2023, 59,000 human injuries, 444 deaths by deer. Now, it doesn't say whether or not it's driving and hitting a deer or a wild deer biting you.
Yeah.
I assume there's all sorts of incidents of deer-related injuries, and most of them are not the deer physically attacking you with its... With its teeth and its
antlers. I know, but it would be so much better if just like when you were walking, say on Rainy, if at any moment out of the alley, these like two wayward deer just came out of nowhere and attacked you with their little paws.
Right in front of the light.
You know how they have to like, bucks have to fight for dominance and stuff? If the ones that got shunned, all the wild young ones just went into the streets to fight humans.
Think about how you feel about tigers. Now imagine if you felt the same way about deer and they were just all around us.
Because they are. They're all in our name. That would be freaky. Ugh.
We think of them as kind of like cute and adorable.
Yeah, they are cute.
Right?
Yeah.
I told you all the time I almost got the crap kicked out of me by a deer. It was scary.
What happened?
Was this when you were on mushrooms out in the woods?
Yeah, Spencer remembers.
You tripped over a fawn, a baby deer.
I tripped over a fawn that was laying down, and then, like, the mother that we had seen in the front yard, I guess, like, came running kind of at me.
They're both trying to stay still because it's dark.
I didn't see it, and I was walking around the side of the house. I tripped over the fawn, and then suddenly it's like, blah, and I just scream from the front yard, and everyone in the backyard, they're on mushrooms, too, so they don't know what I'm getting into. You know what I've learned is
CJ, now that we have these facts, you could have died. That deer could have came up and stabbed you with its hooves.
Well, yes. Yes, it could have. But I was one with nature at the moment, so it knew I was okay.
Anyway, what segment is this?
Did you know?
Did we know?
Did you know that Ross Rebagliati, the first man to win gold in snowboarding in the Olympics, was disqualified from his gold. He tested positive for marijuana, which also, how can you be a snowboarder and not a pothead?
Yeah.
Anyway, don't feel bad for him. He owns a marijuana business called Ross's Gold, where he makes $1 billion. So it worked out for him.
Congrats. Fun weed smoking.
Do you guys know why movie trailers are called movie trailers?
No, we don't, because they used to put them... wait, let's find out.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to come after the movie.
They did.
Yeah.
Oh, did Toledo.
You know? The movie previews used to be shown at the end of a movie, which is why they're called trailers. Which, you know, like at the end of a car, that's where you would haul a trailer, I guess.
Yeah.
Nothing more.
Dude, I used to help make movie trailers, and it never even occurred to me that they're called trailers. They used to come after the movie.
How crazy. Imagine staying after a movie's finished.
I mean, I bet people weren't, and that's why they said, hey, can we start running these in front of the movie, please?
Well, dumbass Marvel has us stay in anyways to be like, well, maybe there's another secret thing. It's so frustrating and annoying. I hate it. You know what else I thought about movies? This isn't a did you know. This is a kind of like, hey, what do you think?
What do you think?
Hey, what do you think?
What's your thoughts on this?
You know, I really appreciate, especially from the golden age of cinema with movies like North by Northwest, the... one of the things when I first got into like studying film was the titles, the intros, the start of movies when they have all that stuff. Do we still need the? Do you guys like that, or do you prefer a cold open? Like, what? How do you like your movie to start?
It depends on the movie and how good the intro sequence is.
Do we need titles anymore?
I think that sometimes it can set a tone going from
with
all
the music,
of the other stuff
yeah.
that's happening. Sometimes it's nice to have a nice long title sequence, good music that kind of sets you and like says, hey, everything else from your day, chill, bro. Don't worry. Yeah. Your buffalo cauliflower bits will be here in a little bit.
Hell yeah. Just that's some good Alamo food.
Just relax a little bit and enjoy the fact that you have now started the movie.
Yeah, I mean, think about...
If it's a rad horror film, it starts cold, and then there's a killing, and then there's like a pa, there's the title, and then the intro
sometimes,
sequence.
Yeah, sometimes that cold open's kind of fun.
It depends. I'm not...
Now I'm
hardcore.
Thinking about it setting the tone, and the one that's like stuck in my head out of nowhere is the Beetlejuice one, to where it starts with that music, and it's going around the little town, the little miniature town. Like, you know what? I'm gonna stick with titles. Did you know I still like titles?
Did you know?
That's okay.
I got one more about a great American public official, Robert Moses.
Oh.
Did you know?
Well, I had one more about Meatloaf.
American public official also. Robert Moses built bridges across parkways to get into state parks. And when he built the bridges, not only did he build a bridge, but he built them very low. He did that because he thought that would keep poor and lower middle class families from coming to the parks because they didn't own cars and couldn't walk over a parkway. But also, if they tried to arrive by bus, that low bridge would keep the bus from being able to go underneath it.
Jeez.
Damn, bro.
Yeah. This is what a mean dude. Hey, parks are great, but only for rich people?
Which rich people already own all the land in Texas. Last public servant, real quick, Meatloaf built a bridge out of hell. Actually, a bed out of hell. Do you know it still sells 200,000 copies a year to this day? It came out in 77, still crushing it to this day.
Did you ever see his house? You know, Meatloaf lived out in West Austin.
Yeah, he
Austin.
Lived in Austin. I never lived
because he recently passed.
I was never invited.
I was never invited either.
No, bummer.
Yeah, which is weird because I'd have brought Brady.
You're all going to die, and so are we. Welcome to For Your Health, where we talk about health here on the CJ Morgan Show.
Oh, did we? We got a new segment?
Yeah, why not? We've done our research, and off-air Spencer discovered that... tall, rotund people have a chance of getting erectile cancer.
This is editorialized by the guy who posted it, because the article is something, it's an actual science paper that I can't understand.
But are you okay, Spencer?
I'm okay now, but it says here, tall people with big bellies at an increased risk of colorectal cancer.
So that's a boner butt cancer, right?
Well,
that's
a colorector. Yeah.
Isn't that part of that just because if you're tall and you got a big belly, you just got more colorectal anyway, don't you?
Probably.
There's more chance of growing bad stuff down there.
Do you guys have a disease like you're afraid, like, oh, this is the one that's going to get me? Like, I'll give you an example. My grandmother succumbed to, I guess you don't die from Alzheimer's, you die from other things that are complications, but she got Alzheimer's and it just sucked butts.
Yeah,
and
I worry about that.
I worry that that's going to be passed down in genes and then I'll end up getting Alzheimer's. And if so... how do you know when you have enough Alzheimer's that the good days are over and it's time for you to go out into the woods right. and die out there.
I think the, and then they'll do a silver alert. And I'm like, I was trying to escape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Matt, you're not an old cat. Like, you can't just crawl under a shed. That'll stink. I think Alzheimer's, obviously, it's a very bad one. We've dealt with it in family. I don't think, for me personally, I don't know if I worry about that for me because I won't be aware enough, but I do worry about that just for like how family and friends will have to deal with it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine
like splitting between what I do recall and the strange. I can't even imagine what it's like to be present without being present. If you know what I mean.
I don't worry about the sudden stuff so much anymore. That day that I had a series of strokes here on air, where you realize like it's very clear. You're like, oh, my body is shutting off. I think I'm dying. Like, I think this must be with death. Like, that's horrifying and kind of scary, but now that I've been through it, it's sort of like, yeah, okay, yeah. I got it. I get what happens. Okay. It's kind of chill.
Now,
I
know people. We literally started this segment talking about butthole cancer. I thought we were going to probably end it there, but yeah, Alzheimer's sounds terrifying.
Yeah,
thank you.
Cancer can be a bitch too if you've had friends or family go through that because it's
horrendous.
It can be a slow withering.
Ugh,
and what's very frustrating is it when it comes back after you think you're done with it. That's a scary one. A lot of people say, I want to die in my sleep, but I think I want something a little more dramatic, personally.
Yeah.
And awesome. But then I've had that moment where I've always had like a fainty heart where it beats weird and I get that faint. But the other night I was laying in bed and I started to feel that like weird. I was like, I'm about to have a heart attack. And I'm like, this is scary and this sucks.
Yeah.
Like that slow, but you're in the process of a heart attack kind of thing. That kind of scares me.
Not to get too vicious, but yeah, most of my relatives, or the people close to me, all got something kind of horrible and withered, and it sucked. The only guy that got out easy was my grandfather. He was 82 years old. It was 104 degrees, and he was re-roofing his house. He had a massive one and was gone instantaneously.
Wait.
And that's kind of a good way to go. No, when I say massive one, I meant heart attack. Not just a giant floppy old dome.
You know what would scare me? That's what we're talking about, scary ways to die, as far as like diseases, those kind of things. A stroke would be, because I've had family members deal with a stroke, and that seemed like with you, Matt, but one where you lose like body's ability to do stuff, but mentally you're still kind of like
horrifying.
That's how my grandfather
passed pretty freaky.
Away about a decade ago.
Well, I've told my family if I have one of those strokes, just to wheel me out into the woods,
put me
underneath the house like a cat.
Yeah, it only lasted a few days, but it's like it's awful.
my grandfather dealt with some military injuries that had been lingering, but he had the diabetes got real bad where they had to cut stuff off.
No.
Because he was like almost 7 feet tall. He was a big guy, but they had to do that. And he kind of withered away from that. And that was disappointing. So,
hey, by the way, Monday, Spencer, maybe you shouldn't bring in the, hey, guys, did you hear that if you got a belly and you're tall, you're going to die of cancer?
Because
really sent us down a rabbit hole of death here.
Yeah, well, for your health.
Better than the colon hole, am I right?
Yeah, well, our new...
I don't know why I said that.
Our new segment of how to stay healthy is us just lamenting all the different ways we could die.
This is how I don't want to go. Oh, man.
Well, they didn't say anything about being a short person with a big belly. So short kings, solid, send out.
You good. Jimi Hendrixing. I almost did that once. That would suck. Dying in your sleep on your own puke because you're too drunk. That's how Attila the Hun died. Just he had a nosebleed that he choked to death on his nosebleed.
Wait,
because
do we know that?
We know stuff.
Come on, we don't know that Attila the Hun died.
He
that
got
way.
A bloody nose
we
on his wedding
that.
Night to one of his many wives,
we
and he choked to
that.
Death on his own blood.
Was it like 2,000 years ago?
It was a long time ago, but yeah, that's what happened. Stupid criminals keep getting in trouble, but it just makes them cooler.
The internet has never been so easy.
The internet. A 17-year-old was arrested in New York City after he pulled quite an interesting stunt. He posed as his principal. But why did he get arrested? That's what's dumb about it.
Let's dig in and find out.
I read a little more, but yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, he created fake school email accounts, a lot of fake stuff.
Now I know why he got arrested.
Yeah.
It's fraud. You're not supposed to pretend to be an official or anything like that.
He posed as the principal and sent a fax announcing he was resigning, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, it is.
But...
Yes.
police, they tried to figure out what happened. The principal's like, I'm not resigning. And then they discovered that the teenager had used his phone number while sending the fax. Yikes. And yeah, he was arrested. So I guess so. In person, you're getting into what, state-funded kind of stuff? So maybe it becomes a bit more of a troublesome thing. I don't know. I think it's a pretty harmless, funny stunt.
Well, it's not like he just put up posters like that. I'm resigning, blah, blah, blah. He literally got his information. He was sending. So it's a little hackery, little, you know what I mean, invasive. It's not good. I love it, though. It's F the principal, dude.
Well, also, the fact that a 17-year-old figured out how to found and then figured out how to use a fax machine in and of itself is pretty...
That right there is pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. Man. I was going to say, is he autistic and just likes really intense, like old school like machinery?
I mean, only a principal would resist. That seems like
I got to find a reason how to use this.
That seems how a school district would work, though, is you have to use a fax machine to do any official communicating. I haven't used one in forever, but we still occasionally will get faxes here.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember we would in our newsroom over there, too, sometimes. It would scare the hell out of me when I had to work here on the weekends. I'm like, no, please don't be an Amber Alert.
You got to read it on air, this weird fax machine. And there are still some agencies like, yeah, if you need a new Social Security card, you got to fax this in. I'm like, no, I don't. Get the internet. Get a website. Yeah. All right, I can bank online. You can do this too.
Literally take pictures of my ID front and back and like email it to you, and that's okay for some places.
Yeah. So,
anyway, sorry.
The next story: liberals just keep making Morgan Wallen cooler. Every time he does something, the lib turds get mad and like, see, this is why this guy's terrible. This is why this guy's terrible. He should be canceled. But you know, saying the N-word. Country stars love that. That's just going to make him cooler. But his most recent stunt was he was at a buddy's bar. Was it like Keith Urban's bar?
This is a couple weeks ago. He threw, you're talking about when he threw the chair off of the sixth yeah. floor of a bar yeah. and it came crashing down and almost hit some cops?
That's dangerous. That could kill people.
It could literally kill somebody.
But the calls to cancel and get rid of him, that just makes him cooler to his fans because he's more of an outlaw.
This is very true.
Here's the problem. I'm going to be honest, Morgan Wallen is a good entertainer, and his shows appear to be very fun. His music kind of sucks, though, and all we're doing is making him cooler by getting upset about these stories, right?
It does remind me of, like, when the parents were so upset that, like, Jim Morrison was opening his shirt and wearing tight pants. You know what I mean? And it just made people flock, more and more people flock to the Doors shows in the 60s and 70s.
You also probably wouldn't have known about him doing that if people weren't bitching. But we finally this weekend got an apology from Morgan Wallen, or at least I think so. Here's him speaking at a show. I'll bleep it out when he starts saying racist things.
When I was a junior in high school, I almost got kicked off the team. I was a little rowdy back then. Yes, I'm still a little rowdy now. But Coach Davis, man, he never gave up on me. And there's been a lot of people in my life who never gave up on me, some of them in this building tonight.
Well, I must have read the wrong facts because that is clearly not him apologizing. Or it said he addresses and apologizes for the chair incident.
I did not hear it in that clip.
That just seems him saying, hey, thanks for coming to the show still.
I'm a little rowdy.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
That wasn't the right R word, I guess. But.
Yes, I'm still a little rowdy now.
Can jazz musicians teach us to be more creative, man?
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird or Wired.
It's weird, or is it wired?
The wonderful smart people at Drexel University's Creativity Research Lab. I've been studying a bunch of Philadelphia area jazz guitarists. They're trying to figure out something called flow state. You know, when you are creative and you're working on something.
When
and all
the
of
brain
a sudden,
just works in a mysterious way. Man, flow state's great.
Goes on its own. And all of a sudden you wake up 3 hours later and you've got a ton of work done. And you don't know how you did it. How do we get to the flow state?
Jazz musicians, heroin.
That might be some of it. It turns out that our brains are made up in what we call default mode networks. Right? It's how we kind of do most of our creative thinking. And in talk about things like, well, when I say creativity, I mean things like introspection. That's when you have an inner monologue and you think. Some people don't have an inner monologue, which is weird to me that they don't have a constant, loud, obnoxious conversation happening inside their head.
Yeah, that's strange.
I have that. Yeah. Daydreaming, imagining the future. I have all three of those things sometimes at the exact same time just while I'm trying
constantly,
to drive.
Constantly, yeah.
Frustrating.
And it turns out we have, in our frontal cortex, we just spit out a bazillion ideas, like a garden hose, right? And then we have something called, let me find it right here, executive control. And executive control is basically like a gardener that points that hose to the places it needs to go with those ideas for whatever random reason.
All over some chick's white t-shirt.
Keeps it flowing so we understand what's happening. However, when we're in that mode,
yeah,
we are not very creative.
Really?
Yeah. That we have lots and lots of thoughts, but we don't necessarily get into flow mode because there's so much happening. And it turns out anytime we have to use that executive control network, it slows us down.
It shuts stuff down. I have my three modes in this kind of thing are I have brainstorm creative mode, which is like a lightning flash of all these ideas and things. And I write them down. I just think them, but I can't get I'm shocked and paralyzed or I can't get anything done. Then I have execution mode where I'm really good at like editing video, organizing things, getting it done. But when those two mix, that would be my flow state to where I can come up with a funny idea and then go edit the video and get it completed.
You think that, but I'm going to argue with you because here's the findings that these guys
have. Okay, show me these findings.
Basically what happens is that when we are in flow state, that's different. There's no hose with tons of ideas.
No.
There's also no gardener directing all those ideas. In fact, what happens is that all of those, the major things that we're used to think, ways we're thinking, get tamped way down so they can't interfere with the separate brain network that we have built up for producing just the ideas we need in our field of expertise. Here's the sad part about it. You know how you have guys that are in lots of podcasts who are like, how to hack your brain for creativity.
Yes.
Get into cold punch, whatever. It turns out that really none of that works.
Sure.
I know.
That makes sense.
What we're learning is, and these musicians say, thousands and thousands of hours of practice means that you can let go of all the rest of it and get into that flow. You have to know what you're doing through years and hours of practice, and then you can get that. That's why you have certain people like, let's say, a programmer, computer programmer, who can just sit down and just in a row start programming
coding.
In one session, come
sure.
up with a really good first draft of a fun video game.
You're saying to hit that flow, you need a certain level of expertise in what you're doing.
Right.
And experience.
Because you kind of build the muscle up in that specialized section of your brain.
Right.
And allows that section to then stand up, get forward, and shut down the very loud garden hose of your frontal cortex.
Oh, that's why I like it so much. It usually happens with things that I've done for multiple years or
yeah.
hours and hours,
yeah.
music or, you know, this job, certain aspects of it. Like,
you know how
yeah,
when we're done
it.
With it, you
I
know
love
when,
the flow because we just sit down.
When we're done with a radio show, people say, oh, that thing you did today, and you go, I don't remember. I have no memory of the show.
Yeah.
It's because we've been doing it long enough
that
you're
what
in flow
that?
And you don't know what's happening. We've shut down the rest of the parts of our brain.
I think, speaking of getting on popular podcast radio show, let's say How to Hack the Brain, my most creative era was probably 2012 to 2016, and I've identified it. Drug, alcohol, abuse, and unstable emotional relationships. I was great. I was at the top of my game.
Were you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah.
Were
yeah.
You, were you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna say it. But that's kind of fascinating to hear because it's not how I feel like I would flow. Because again, having the idea, the flow mode's one thing, but it doesn't get anything concrete done, and there's many overlap. Maybe that's ADHD kicked in with it.
Well, that's because you're having these things come in from the executive function mode. What
so I'm having skiddly-doo-doo-bee over here.
You're not necessarily getting into flow, or you would be getting tons done because the other part would be shut down. That may be the problem you have with your ADHD, is that you're having a hard time actually shutting down
and paying attention to the segment.
Other areas of your pain. All right. Okay.
Right. Moving on.
The CJ Morgan Show. Learning brand new things daily, including manners, responsibility, accountability, how to file taxes, how to behave in public, how to apologize. 101X.